Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY 467369.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, Leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome back to another episode of Growing Up the Same. I'm your host, Trevon Edwards, and I'm joined always by my co-host, Jason Madison, a.k.a. Jay Skills. What's going on, bro?
What up, man? Good to see you, Trey.
And today, we're joined by our special guest, the lovely Lexi Brown. How you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
Wonderful.
Can't complain.
Hungry.
Hungry, yeah.
Absolutely.
Lexi Brown is an American professional basketball player for the Minnesota Lynx of the WNBA. She is a ninth pick by the Connecticut Sun in the 2018 draft and played at the University of Maryland as well as Duke University. Lexi, this is a one of the two. You ready?
Ready.
Simpsons or Family Guy?
Family Guy.
The Notes app or Writer Notes?
The Notes app.
Waze or Google Maps?
Ugh, Waze.
Popeyes or Bojangles?
Bojangles.
Ashanti or Keisha Cole?
Keisha Cole. Nobody care about that verse no more though.
Travis Scott or Future?
Ooh, Travis Scott. Can't stand the Toxic King. I cannot.
Chili's or Applebee's?
Oh, Chili's. They got good drinks.
Target or Costco?
Target. Yes.
Smoothies or pressed juice?
Smoothies.
A hike or a swim?
A hike.
Mini hoop or mini golf?
Mini golf.
Pineapple Express or Project X?
Project X.
Airheads or Sour Patch Kids?
Sour Patch Kids.
Duke or Maryland?
Duke. Easy.
Crab cakes or shrimp and grits?
Shrimp and grits.
Dunk contest or three-point contest?
Three-point contest.
You Got Served or Step Up?
You Got Served. Duh.
Would you rather take an hour nap or an hour in a jacuzzi?
Hour nap.
The Busted Challenge or the Bernie Sanders meme?
The Bernie Sanders meme.
Martin Lawrence or Will Smith?
Will Smith.
Mike Epps or Cat Williams?
Oh, that's a hard one. Cat Williams.
Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat.
Fenty or Ivy Park?
Fenty.
Mexican or Italian food?
Mexican.
East Coast or West Coast?
East Coast.
For basketball, ESPN or TNT?
TNT.
Stream a movie at home or go to the theater if it's not Corona?
Okay. Pre-COVID, definitely like to go to the movies.
Would you prefer a dope playlist or a dope album?
A dope playlist.
College or the pros?
College.
Sweats or hoop shorts?
Sweats.
Life before social media or life with social media?
Life before.
Would you rather fly to Mars or discover what's at the bottom of the ocean?
Fly to Mars.
Bungee jumping or skydiving?
Skydiving.
Would you rather write your own biography or have somebody that you don't know make a movie about you?
Write my own biography.
PlayStation or Xbox?
I'll play video games. I'll go with PlayStation because that's what my brother has.
Game Boy or Switch?
Ooh, Game Boy.
Call of Duty or GTA?
GTA.
Jordans or Yeezys?
Jordan.
And the last one, pandemic or panoramic?
Panoramic, Panda Express, yeah. Panini Press, all of it.
Yeah. That's the first one. I'm getting old. I ain't heard them last two. But, yeah. But I'm going to add them to my vocabulary so I can be here.
That was a wonderful one.
All you gotta do is find a tweet with panoramic and just scroll.
And the thread is probably going crazy.
Oh my gosh, there's so people on Twitter are so funny, bro.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, that's the greatest app of all time. All right, we're gonna go into a blast from the past. Let's talk about young Lexi and her connection to video games.
Video games. So I was kind of like a dorky kind of young person. So I would like go to the computer store with like my dad and go get computer games. So like I started, my video game journey started with computer games. And I liked The Sims a lot. I like Sim City, so like building a city. I had a game where you could like build water slides and you like ran a water park and like people could like fly off the water slides and stuff. Then I had this time of, they had like Nancy Drew video games. So like I had like every single one and they were scary, but they were so fun. So I played those for like hours and hours and hours. And then, you know, the desktop computer, like that wasn't really like a thing anymore. You go up to laptops and then we always had like all the video game systems. So I liked, you know, we had Nintendo 64, GameCube, Dreamcast. We had all that. We had the arcade games in the house. So I like playing Sonic, Crash. What else did I play? Super Smash Brothers. Like I played like all like the childish games. I wasn't really allowed to play any of the other games like Grand Theft Auto and stuff like that. So I had to go to my friend's house to play it. So that's what I did. San Andreas was the first Grand Theft Auto game I played. And it's come a long way, obviously. And I got all the Grand Theft Auto games after that, because then I was like 15. I'm like, Mom, can I please play the freaking Grand Theft Auto games? So played that. I beat one Call of Duty game. Like I played little story mode, which like nobody does that, but I was invested in the storyline. So I played it, beat it. And I was like, yeah, I don't really like Call of Duty that much. And then like one day, like probably like my junior, senior high school, I just like put the video games down and I like never picked them up again. And now I'm terrible at all of them. Like it's embarrassing. Maybe like Mario Kart is like the only game I'm good at now, but just one day I like woke up and I just didn't want to play video games anymore, and that was it. And it's sad.
It'd be like that sometimes though, you know. I mean, I hate the Bible verse, but you put away childish things.
Yeah, like my fingers stopped working. I was like, I played 2K with my brother one day. He's 14. He like beat me by 30. I was like, yeah, I'm done with this.
Yeah, I had the same type of experience because I played video games and then I put them down like around that same time, like 16, 17. And then, yeah, Mario Kart is the only game I could play now. Everything else, I'm just awful at.
I just see like grown people who like play video games for hours on hours. And like, no shade, like if that's what you like to do, that's what you like to do. But I'm just like, how? How do you just sit there? Like my brother is like that. I'm just like, do you guys not want to go outside? Do you not want to like go out to eat or something? Like they just be glued to that screen. But if I'm like, not even when I'm bored, if like I'm bored enough, I'm going to take a nap. Like I'm not going to pick up a video game. I'm going to go to sleep. So
it's rare that it's like, all right, I want to.
Yeah. When I was in college and I hooped and playing a little bit of professional, it kept me out of trouble and kept me inside. Obviously, it wasn't
a like we talking to each other on there and stuff. So like, I get it.
Yeah, but I wasn't even playing online. I just used to be like, yo, my teammates, I would take their money. I'd be like, yo, let's play a tournament. Like, y'all pull up, y'all, you know, this, that, and the third.
When you add all the extra grown up things, like, I understand it.
Oh, no, now it's really hard just because I got a crazy schedule. And like, again, I barely even plug my PS5 up, but the option there, if something drops, I'm gonna grab it. I just gotta have it still there. You know what I mean? Like I got an arcade system at the crib where I could just like, all right, if I got company, you know what I'm saying? Hey, while I'm getting dressed, you can do this.
He got this big old machine and it has like all the old games. So like when his friends come over, they're like we got like Golden Tee from like 2005, like graphics terrible, but they like have the time of their life playing on the Golden
Tee. Yeah, I mean, it's the memories that's brought in with it. But I think that's pretty dope that you started off on computer gaming, because a lot of people don't start off that way. And then also, I know you're loving the glitches on the internet, how they have the Sims twerking and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh, I found like a whole TikTok side of Sims, like with the modifications, and they like have the girls with like the big lips and the baby hairs and the cute clothes. They like running strip clubs on the Sims. I'm like, crazy. Where was this Sims when I was younger? Like, I don't have time.
Nah, you didn't need that. You didn't need that mod back then.
I didn't know. I don't have time to go do all those mods. I don't know. Like, cause, like they're trying to explain how to do it. I'm like, oh no, it ain't worth it. But I be on TikTok, like seeing what all these people do to their Sims. And I'm like, this is amazing.
I don't even know who to follow on TikTok. So I'm at that age.
You just like a few, if you like a few posts, your For You page, you just like.
So that's how you get your algorithm going.
Yes, exactly.
Same like Instagram. So if you view a couple pages, then that's how your explore page will look.
My whole timeline on Instagram is Bleacher Report, Slam, and League Fits. Cause like I just like stuff on those pages because like I just do. So
I don't like nothing. I'm one of the type of people that don't give up no likes.
I need to do that to like the big pages because I like don't see my friends on Instagram at all. And I
yeah. No, I understand it.
I got a question for both of y'all, because she just said League Fits. Who do y'all think, in each league, who do y'all think is the best dressed player? Or like just, or a couple of the best dressed players?
In the NBA, I'm going to say for the guys.
Chris Paul up there.
You got Chris Paul? I don't really like how he dressed.
He's simple.
I like
extra stuff.
Kelly, Shea.
Shea is the best dressed in the league. I was just talking to someone about that.
I would say those three: Shea, Kelly, and Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson. Okay, I'll
Jordan
say
Clarkson has the worst.
He is like you said, he's hit or miss. His hits are crazy.
I will say, but he's from the school of Nick Young, so I get it. It's gonna be some wild curveballs that's thrown.
Kilt. That was weird. Like that didn't look good to me. At all.
All right, from the WBA.
I'm gonna put myself in there only because I have like the girly swag. But as far as like the tomboy stuff, Ty, she's not in the league anymore, but Ty Young was definitely one of the best dressed. Diamond DeShields can put a little fit together. Who else be dressing? Chloe's not in the league anymore either, but she's on the Sky for a little bit. She was probably the best dressed, in my opinion, Chloe Jackson. And Shatori Walker, Kimbrough. She plays for Phoenix. She likes bandanas.
I learned so many WNBA players from creating WNBA Bubble Life that I was just like, oh, okay. Because I got to peep all y'all shit, like...
And Taya Cooper, of course, she can dress too. She was like popping.
I was gonna throw you in there because you know what I mean. You could do the both and step out if you need to. I was gonna say Taya, and then Ty, and then also it was somebody else.
Liz can dress too, and I give her credit.
You said who?
Oh, Liz Cambage.
Oh yeah. She get fit.
Oh, and I'm like, she just make it work. So I love that. But yeah,
so there's your answer, Jason.
I'm surprised that neither of you guys mentioned PJ.
Tucker?
I mean,
I just think of shoes when I think of him.
PJ only got kicks, bro. He dressed like the Dream. Hey, shouts to PJ though, man. We the same age, bro. So, you know, it's much love to class 03, bro.
Hey, I had to mute my laugh. That was kind of...
Hey, no, you should have been laughing on it, bro. Keep this on there. Leave that on there. No, but PJ, LeBron, who else? Chris Paul, they all... But we all, like my whole thing, I don't feel like I can dress, but P people my age
dress too. It's actually funny seeing them dress how they like. They're dressing like people my age, but like when they were my age, the way they was dressing, like in the early 2000s.
Oh yeah, we were 4X all 4X tall tees.
Those fits were unbelievable.
It was great.
I would like all of them to bring back one of those fits just one day.
Just I feel like that era is going to come back in.
I hope it does not.
That's gonna be really nasty, bro. Bro, I like the baggy pants that's coming back, but we're not doing baggy shirts, bro.
Look at fashion. Look at Virgil and all that stuff, man. They're gonna make it into.
I'm 175 pounds. I don't need to be in no 4X.
Virgil is a menace.
I'm cool on Virgil shit. Yeah, you all looking tricky. You be out here looking like a crime scene.
Kanye, what they've done to men's fashion, I don't like it all the time.
Right. I don't like
holes in my jeans.
They gave a few gems. I'm over the whole zip tie joint. That was a lot for me.
The who?
The zip, like all the zip ties.
His sneaker. Yeah. I mean, he's
all on the off-white stuff.
Yeah, I ain't gonna put down no black man. Shouts to them and all that, but it's not for me.
Right.
What's your connection with dance?
It's just something I like to do. I actually was a dancer until I was about 13, and then I had to, you know, wrap it up to go play basketball. So I was like,
did you have to wrap it up?
Yeah, because it took up so much time. I was there.
So
like,
your dad and mom was like, nah.
Yeah. So I was like at the dance studio like 3-4 hours a day. I was like on competition teams, like traveling and stuff. So, I mean, I wasn't good. We actually found a video of one of my recitals and it was horrifying. And I'm like, you paid for me to do this? Like, I'm so sorry. And it was just bad, but I was having so much fun.
That's all that matters.
Jazz, ballet, tap, hip, like I did it all. I was about to go to point. That's where the line was crossed. I was going to mess up my feet. So he was like, you want to go do point or do you want to go play basketball? So decided to pick basketball, rightfully so, because I was not a good dancer. But now I just like dance for fun, you know, do TikTok dances. I'm the dancer on the team, you know, intro, starting lineups, bench dances, you know.
It's me. See, you wouldn't have got all that if you didn't go do that, because yeah. You would have been shy.
You know, back to that era of baggy pants and stuff, you know, like all the Soulja Boy, Lean With It, Rock With It, the Crank Bass. Like I was all up in that middle school.
And that's crazy. I was a grown ass man when that finally came out. that was a different type of time,
actually, because they were all on YouTube, all the dances.
Do you guys?
Jason, you have to fact check that year. I don't know when Crank That came out, but I definitely was probably 20 or 21 for sure. Grown as hell, talking about you.
Do you guys have pregame dances? Like, do you guys have coordinated dances that y'all do? Like.
No, but in our starting lineup,
do that again.
Isn't that what Harden?
Our starting lineups, the people who feel like, you know, doing a little thing, they'll do the little thing, and we just you know, gas them up. When did it come out? Why is it?
I feel like that's one of the funnest parts of sports, though, is like that, like getting ready for the game, the whole team like crowd around each other. Like
it was crazy, dog. It was like it was during a thirsty time because I remember Dwight Howard really being involved in that. And he's a rookie. I'm 1 year older than Dwight. So 2004, I want to say it was 05. That was a thirsty time because Chris Brown had just came out. Omarion had did a debut. He had broke
up. Guys dancing all over the place.
Yeah, we was out here just doing all this shit and, you know, but.
He absolutely was.
Yeah, it was crazy. But shouts to your parents pulling you out of dance. But they helped you also. In a scenario of, you know, getting that extra talent. So now you can, you know, whenever you decide to have a little kid, you can put your child in dance and just get that experience.
Definitely doing dance classes. If my child has no rhythm.
Look, what if you didn't have no rhythm? You probably wouldn't be able to. Look, you can't even Eurostep.
There's four of us. And me and my brother, who's the baby, we have rhythm. And then the two middle ones, my sisters. Like, see? I don't know what happened.
They probably out here dancing like the Black Power Ranger. It's all bad. basketball. For most people don't know, your dad played in the NBA. How was that?
Well, I was a baby, so I don't really remember much of him playing.
I could tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm old. So, you know, your dad won a dunk contest when I was six. You know what I'm saying? And I had the Reebok pump shit. I thought that shit was going to make me jump higher. False advertisement, but it was dope. It was ill. And then I also be trying to fight for your pops when niggas say that the dunk ain't dope. It's 91. Nobody was thinking about covering their face.
First of all, I've never even heard anybody say it wasn't dope.
Oh, they be hating. Because, you know, you got to look at it like this. When people go back to watch things, they try to depreciate it in a current eye.
Yeah.
Like, it's like watching a movie and you're like, y'all used to like this? Y'all thought this was funny?
When that's true. Because when I watch movies, like.
What movie did you slander?
You Got Served. Oh, my gosh.
Hard.
That movie was bad then.
Bad then. But like.
My whole thing with like that.
See, I ain't messing with y'all.
That was a terror. The acting in that movie was disgusting.
It
was
all right. Give me another movie.
I'm trying to think. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but there have been a few movies I went back to watch and I turned them off. So I'm like,
it's all good. I'm just letting you know that people be going back and looking at shit. I know I personally went back to the 97 dunk contest because they actually ended it. It was that bad. And that's the year Kobe won.
Impressive thing about early 90s and those dunk contests is one, the stars participated. Even, my dad wasn't really a star though. He actually was like a late addition, actually. Two, they didn't get all them chances to make the dunk.
That is true.
Make the dunk, you miss it, that's it.
Yeah.
You get one try. All this three chances, 60.
It was hard though, because when you really think about him doing that dunk and then all the blindfold, all the no look, all that, it had to happen for everybody to get that. The same way Isaiah Ryder did the East Bay and then Kobe did it. And then everybody started going between their legs. And it's just like,
and there was
you can't call it whack.
Instagram, there was no Twitter.
Oh, nah.
Like he thought of that on his own.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Copying anybody else or paying tribute to anybody else or using props or like not throwing shade to none of the recent dunk contests.
But he's also 6'1", too, right?
Yeah, he's a little guy.
Hey, we not that little. I'm 6'2". Don't be calling me little.
These recent dunk contests have been me.
You ain't feeling it?
They've been trash.
You I'm cool. Trash. No, D-Way, Rob.
Whatever ones that Aaron Gordon has been in.
He's
been
nice.
Cool. But I think people were like loving it only because like he got robbed. Like they have to like throw that element into it now, like robbing someone of winning. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh my god, I have it.
Yeah, I don't want the drama part of it, but I just know
Cats like, can all dramatics now. Dwayne Wade giving everybody like bad scores. Like
he was just lit. Shouts to D Wade, fellow Capricorn. He was just lit though. Stall him.
Has to be.
So we go get back to basketball. Were you born literally with the ball in your hand? Or did your parents give you time to gravitate to it?
I was always around the game, you know. I have pictures like on the Boston Garden floor. Like I've just always been around it. So I think that eventually the ball was gonna come to me. They never forced me to play. Honestly, there were times where they like kind of tried to get me out of basketball because I was so bad at the beginning. But it was just something that I learned to love. I made a lot of friends playing basketball. We had like a little team that I played with for like maybe 4 or 5 years and we were terrible. And then we got really good. And it was like that journey was what made me fall in love with basketball. I think that was like probably elementary school to about like 7th grade. Like, so maybe like 4th to 7th grade, like we just had this group of girls who none of them play basketball anymore, but we just had this friendship and this bond that grew and we like just grew together as players, as young ladies and everything. And I think that camaraderie, those relationships, that's what like made me love basketball so much.
When did you feel like, yo, I'm nice?
I will tell you the exact game. It was 8th grade. I was on the varsity team because in Florida you can play varsity in middle school, and we were playing like one of the best teams in the state to go to the final four, I think, or something. I don't remember what part of the playoffs we were in. We went to their gym. I was 8th grade and the girls were like, I don't know if they were seniors or not, but they were like way older than me. We lost, but I think I had like 28 points or something. And like after the game, everyone was like, yo, like she's good. Da, 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 da. I'm like, yeah, I'm only 14, like, 13. So
it was prodigy, just out here, just
yeah. Nice. So like after that moment, you know, I was like, okay. Actually, was I eighth grade? Yeah, I was eighth grade. And that's, I was at a private school, and you know, I was like, Mom, can I go to a public school, please? She let me go to a public school in Orlando, and we had a team. We started 5 freshmen, and we just ran through everybody, and it was really fun. We went undefeated, lost in the state semifinals, and you know, from that moment on, my confidence just slowly grew and grew and grew.
What I was gonna say, did you ever get labeled D Brown's daughter?
All the time.
All the time. How'd you feel about that?
Label like 2 years ago, really. I loved it. It never bothered me.
Yeah, I mean, that's not like really kind of, I guess, one of those like, oh, I got a target on my back now.
Yeah.
But I mean, more.
The way like the kids I grew up with, like that little neighborhood that we grew up in, it was a lot of athletes and their kids. So I never really thought it was like a big deal growing up, like to have a dad that played professionally. Cause I had like 4 or 5 really good friends of mine growing up that had former athletes as parents. So I didn't really know that, you know, a target that like provided a target for me until probably college. Cause then you start getting on TV with commentators, interviews, all that stuff. And like every game, it was D Brown's daughter, professional NBA player, his daughter, da 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 da. So I didn't really feel that. And it wasn't even pressure or anything. It was just more attention to us and our family and me as a player until like college.
So you signed with Maryland out of high school?
Yeah.
What made you choose Maryland?
I committed my summer before my sophomore year. So I committed really early. I went to their elite camp and I just loved the campus. I loved the girls on the team. Christy Tolliver was my favorite player, still is, even though she's still playing. And she won a national championship at Maryland. And I felt like our games were very similar. And I just wanted to be on a program where they would, you know, that's why I committed so early, because like they could tell me like what they needed me to do, how they needed me to come prepared for college. So I just spent the rest of my high school, you know, preparing to play for Coach Freeze at Maryland. And I loved it. I mean, the only reason why I really left is because I did not sign up for the Big Ten. That wasn't my dream to go play in, you know, those universities. And, you know, it was just really unfortunate. I mean, it was a good thing for the school, obviously, but it was unfortunate for us who had ACC dreams. That we know we got put in that situation. And 2 of the girls that I went in with ended up staying, but me and the other girl that I came in with, we both left. But if we had stayed in the ACC, I definitely would have stayed, I think. But just my dreams were not Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan.
That's where I was at. I'm sad. I spent 2 years of my life in Iowa.
I wanted to play at Miami, Boston College, UNC. Like, those are the places I wanted to play. So that's why I decided to make that change.
So why Duke out of all schools?
Well, funny, I didn't even want to go there. My mom made me go on a visit there. And I fell in love when I got there. She just basically told me that I was in a really good
Aren't business. Moms the greatest? They're dope.
They're the best. They know best. It's real. Like, they really do know best. I was in a really good competitive business school undergrad at Maryland. And she's like, well, you're not going to downgrade your education. So Duke was really the only option, you know, education wise. And it ended up being the best decision of my life. I think I got to leave there with undergrad and a grad degree, master's degree. So that was really the reason. I knew I was going to be okay with basketball no matter where I went, because I know how hard I work, and you know, I was willing to, you know, do whatever to win basketball games. So it was the other stuff that was important to me.
So were you you mentioned North Carolina. Were you a UNC fan before you went to Duke?
I grew up loving North Carolina. That was my dream school, and they did not recruit me at all, and it crushed my heart.
Yeah. So how did you feel then playing for your blood rival at that point?
It was just really funny, because one of my really good friends growing up, her dream was Duke and my dream was UNC, and she ended up going to George Washington and I ended up at Duke. Yeah. I think I beat North Carolina I played them at Maryland twice, I think. I lost them once at Maryland and I lost them once at Duke, but for the most part, we like busted their ass. So it felt good. Yeah. And I was like, ah, you didn't recruit me. So now you got to see me twice a year. Ah.
Yeah, I mean, hey, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes you just don't, the things that you think you want, you know, God got a different plan. And then obviously mom's always like, look, you're going to do, you ain't got no.
Like, we're going on a visit and I don't want to hear it.
That's what it is. And your dad's like, hey, you heard your mom.
Basically.
You got to say, there you go. All right. So you knew you. Oh, go ahead, Jason.
Was your favorite memory in college? Was it playing or was it something else?
Ooh, I would say my best playing memories. I don't know. I had such great memories at both schools doing different things. I don't know. It's like a tie because I had such a great time in college. That's when you ask college or pro, and I pick college, and you're like, what? Yeah. I had the best time, and I had like two completely opposite experiences, you know, as far as like school size and culture and things like that. And I like had the best time at both schools. So I was like really blessed to have, you know, two really good experiences.
So in eighth grade, you knew you was really nice. When did you feel, or what game did you feel like, yo, I can do this on the next level after this?
I mean, probably that same moment. WNBA had always been my dream and my goal. And my dad had coached two WNBA teams when I was younger, elementary school.
Damn, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I was around, you know, the WNBA when I was a little girl, which a lot of young girls don't have the opportunity, especially when I was younger, because the WNBA was still like, I don't remember ever seeing WNBA like on TV.
Oh, no, it was going up. It just... It wasn't that many teams, and
a lot of teams moved. So like when we were in Orlando, he coached that Miracle team. Like there was like they had a really good fan base. Like the games were really fun. Like they weren't super empty. Like it's just the way the WNBA functions is very weird sometimes, and you know it's kind of hard to keep up sometimes. And I think now we're kind of on the up and up when it comes to, you know, viewership and getting on TV, and we have a little league pass and all that stuff now, but. Just how the women worked and, you know, what kind of people they were to me and, you know, the relationships they always wanted to have with me being, you know, coach's daughter. It just made me want to be a part of that league even more. So from that moment, like I was always playing basketball, but when my dad had those few years of coaching, that's when I was like, this is what I really want to do. And, you know, every year after like that eighth grade year, I was just like, I can, like, this is something I really want to do. And, you know, just locked in a little bit more every single year. I missed out probably on some things in high school, you know, that some people got to do that I didn't get to do, which, you know, that was just the sacrifice I was making to get to that next level, which was college. And my parents did a great job of, you know, not having me lose sight of where I was at the moment. And they were like, okay, well, you're in high school, like try to be one of the best high school players. Okay, did that. Now we want you to get to a top 25 school. You know, that's your next goal. Do that. Did that. Now try to be one of the best players on your team. Win games, like win a championship. We did that. Now try to be one of the best players in the country. You know, do that. And then, you know, eventually, you know, all getting those little baby steps, you know, finally to the top is, you know, get drafted. And, you know, that was something that we always talked about, you know, amongst ourselves. So for it to, you know, pan out the way it did was really exciting for all of us.
So you get drafted by the Connecticut Sun. How was that?
That year was like a blur. It was a great learning experience. You know, that's the most positive thing I can say about that. And it was hard, but, you know, I feel like
that's always growing pains. You know what I mean? In those situations.
There's very few players that, you know, completely skip the growing pains. Some people get it like when they're super young. Some people get it a little bit later in their career. It was a blessing to learn a lot about myself, I've never had to navigate a situation like that before. So the way I handled that, I think I was very mature about it for the most part. Got out of the situation, thankfully. And not everybody has that happen. You know, they're in a kind of a messed up situation for, you know, their basketball, and they get to leave after 1 year. So I will always be grateful to Kurt for, you know, having me on the team. Still like including me in the rotation, kind of. He recognized how hard I worked and the work ethic I had and what type of teammate I was. So when it was time to, you know, make that move, he was just kind of like, you know, go ahead, Lex, go prosper somewhere else. Cause he did have that belief in me. You know, he valued me still, cause he could have definitely just waived me or cut me. So, and he didn't, he traded me. So.
Who is Lexi Brown now as a WNBA player?
I'm still trying to figure it out. My journey so far in the WNBA has been like weird to me. It's just such a competitive league. And I think I got caught up a lot in, do I belong here? Like, am I good enough to be here? And I think that I've proven that. And I think other people recognized it and I just didn't recognize it. So I think this season is going to be the first year where I don't feel like, you know, like I could get cut today. Like I literally, those are literally the thoughts I was having up until this point. And now I'm not overseas. I'm doing a really rigorous off-season training, you know, thing for the first time. And I'm really excited to see how that translates to the court. I'm trying to be the best shooter in the league. And I said that last season and it didn't happen. And I got a little derailed with the concussion and stuff. But I feel like this season I can definitely do that. I'm capable of doing that. And it's just, it's a confidence thing for me. And I think that this is going to be the most confident Lexi that people will see on the court.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it. All right. Shoes. What's your favorite shoe to hoop in? Or your favorite shoe that you hooped in all time? I'll start with that, all time.
Yeah. My favorite shoes are Kobe's.
Okay.
Just signed with Reebok. So I'm not playing in Kobe's anymore.
So you got Adidas, basically. You can do Reebok Adidas.
Adidas and Reebok.
For most people that don't know that.
Yeah. I don't like Adidas basketball shoes. I tried playing in AIs. They're too heavy.
I'm going to have to talk to my people over at Adidas and get you some promo.
Are those, you
know what? Nah, it's probably the questions. They're really clunky. It's just a clunky
they're
shoe.
So clunky. Yeah. And I'm so used to like Kobe's and like KD's that are like socks.
Okay. How about we get somebody to send you some Kobe ones, some crazy eights, some pro model 2Gs. These are very light basketball shoes and they translate very well into this era. Those are the shoes I played in when I played for Adidas AAU teams and stuff like that. I'm a Nike guy, but I always still got love for Adidas.
But the shoes, so they have the Kamikazes, which I like those. I like low top shoes. So
Kamikaze's too high.
They're too high, but they made low top versions.
Okay.
So
you actually tried to hoop in those?
Yeah, I worked out in them. I haven't played in them yet. They're cool. I like them, but JJ Watt has shoes. They're cross training. I think they're cross training shoes.
Yeah, there are cross trainers.
But I've hooped in them and I love them. I love them. They remind me of the KDs that are like more bendy.
We're gonna have to talk to how they say it, Pyramal. So we're gonna have to get some ladies. You're gonna have to get you some basketball shoes to collab or something.
JJ Watt are probably the shoes I'm gonna hoop in. They're the cutest. They're kind of the most feminine, I think. And they're like not busy. So I'm probably gonna like get a lot of them customized and stuff. Because if they can't do, I'm sure they can do different colorways for me, but they're JJ Watt shoes. So I'm not really sure what they can do. I don't know if they're limited or not, but I love me a little customized shoe. I had a bunch.
Oh, yeah. That's dope. We ain't going to talk about Nike no more then since you're on the contract. Go Reebok. Y'all go pick up them Reeboks.
Hey, Reebok Classics. Don't sleep on the Reebok Classics.
You got some Cardi C's?
Oh, I have so many. I have like 8 pairs. They have sent me so much stuff. They have shown me so much love. Like Reebok
So I'm gonna throw you a cheat code. Tell them to send you the Reebok Beatnik. It's a slipper. So comfy. It's like a Japanese slipper. So crazy. Just say, I want the Reebok Beatniks. You wear them to games, you're gonna be like, yo, them OD. So now one serious question that I wanted to ask. How do you feel, right? Because obviously sometimes you guys are super talented as WNBA players. How do you feel now the league getting more attention because for the wrong reasons, right? First of all, the women are the 2016, since 2016, WNBA has stepped up in the platform, speaking out for social injustice, being the front line. But when I say the negative attention, and it's not even negative, but more male viewers are coming to watch the games on beauty versus how you guys are actually playing. Like, you guys are really good damn basketball players. How do you feel about that? Do you guys have conversations in the locker room that you guys should be respected for how you play and not how you guys look?
I think that's just the reality of society. Mm-hmm. And it sucks, but I don't know. I've never been asked that question before.
I know it's a different question because yeah. I think I asked
my- Honestly, for me, if you like go on my page or anything like that, there's unless like season time is really the only time you really see a lot of basketball stuff. So, you know, I like exuding like this confident, like beautiful, like girly, like that's something I enjoy. So for like when guys are like, I like when guys are like, oh, she's cute. Oh, and she can play basketball. Let me go check her out. Like that doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. But like the comments, like they need to get more girls that look like this.
That, and that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Those comments bother me because I'm like there's, go on Google and Google beautiful women if that's what you want to see. Like, we're not here to be your beautiful women to stare at. Like,
we yeah. And I just think that's pretty whack. You know what I'm saying?
Like, men in general on the internet have gotten way out of control.
Oh, and yeah. No, it's out of pocket. They think they can be.
I'm like, who started this? Because I just want to have a conversation. Because the audacity that I have seen from males' pages, fake pages, just the things that are commented, and like, I had to turn my comments off for a little bit. I was just like, what is wrong with y'all? Like we are not here, like we're not here to please only like men. Like, our lives do not revolve around making sure y'all are happy. Y'all like-
That's good that you turned your comments off and protect your mental health. Cause you know.
It was like, or I just limited them. Like, you had to follow me to comment. Cause I'm like, if you gonna come on here and hate, like follow me. Don't just wander on the page and then be weird, like mental illness. But yeah,
it is what it is. It's the internet, you know, obviously. But
I mean, if you know, we have a lot of beautiful women in our league, and yes, like,
absolutely
it's not like the beautiful, like normal, like that you would think. Like, you don't have to have like long hair and you don't have to wear tight clothes and short shorts to be beautiful. Like, we have so many different types of beautiful women in our league. So if just because it doesn't meet their standards of beauty, like, we're not beautiful enough. Like, it's weird. And I'm like, but we're here playing basketball, so come watch us hoop or bye,
right? There you go. You know what I mean? Definitely. I was going to ask about the bubble, but how was that experience? I know it was different from the men's.
I would give it like a 3 out of 10.
Okay. And why a 3 out of 10? Such a tough score.
Just hard. Like, people are, when people ask me about it, they're like, oh, couldn't it be that bad? You're just playing basketball all day. Da, 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 da. I'm like, okay, take your workplace and all the people you like, all the people you dislike, the bosses you love, the bosses you can't stand, the workers that snitch on you all the time, and go live in a house. Go live in a hotel together, and then go to work, and then come back and live in the same hotel. And you have to interact with them all the time. Like, it's not healthy,
first of all.
You have to be on point all the time. Like, you're having a bad day, like, you walk around the bubble, she's mad, bubble news. Like, no, like, you don't have time for that. So that was hard for me. I don't have a problem. Like, I'm like pretty happy all the time for the most part. So like, that wasn't a problem for me. But like, sometimes when you just kind of like having a day, you got a hard practice.
You just need a break. That's like you being living with your best friend for 4 months. And then you start seeing like, hey, why are you breathing?
Yeah, it was just the rest were in the hotel. The media members were in the hotel. Like, it was a lot. And the WNBA did do an amazing job getting it together. Like, it was very comfortable. Like, I wasn't, like, the food was good, as, like, even though we had that little weird thing that happened in the beginning, so did the NBA bubble. It was just the quarantine time. You know, everything was very comfortable. They made everything accessible to us. They let us go to the beach, like, on, like, scheduled beach days, like a private beach. Like, they did a really good job, but just the environment for a professional athlete, as a young person, as a woman, it was just tough. And then I had the concussion, dealing with that on top of it was really hard. But, you know, if we have to go back in October when I came home, I was like, absolutely not. But fast forward to January and, you know, nothing has really improved. I'm like, you know what? If we got to do a bubble, fine. Like, it's okay.
See, that's the spirit right there. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're going to have to get you a helmet, though, because I was pretty upset. No, you was out with the concussion.
What you mean?
Hey, because it was whack, because, like, you checking the timeline, like, is she playing? Oh, she out still. And some people don't get that. I've had a concussion in basketball.
I was one of those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is she really concussed? Like, no, that shit is not a game.
No, it's whack. And you got to get your electrolytes. You can't go to sleep in certain times. You got a headache. It is not the best thing.
Nobody can see how you're feeling. You look fine. You know, I was told that people thought that I could have finished the season out. And I was like.
And that's not how it works, because you can't even convince a doctor. Yo, I'm good. They're going to say, no, you got to pass the protocol. It don't work like that. You know what I'm saying? So you could plead, scream. And I'm sure it was agonizing watching your team play. And you know you could have contributed. So I definitely wish you a healthy season upcoming. We have one question that we ask our guests. What advice would you give 18-year-old Lexi?
18-year-old Lexi. First advice, I would say, dump the boyfriend that you're dating at right now. That would be the first thing. Dump him immediately. Second piece of advice would be, just continue to stay focused. Thinking back, like, my senior year of high school, there was, like, a lot of times where I was kind of like, oh, do I want to, like, do this? Do I want to do that? Like, I never lost sight of the goal, but, you know, I was already signed to college. Do I really need to go do this workout? Do I really need to do this? And, you know, those moments, like, just understanding, like, it's all gonna pay off. You know, you don't have to go to that party. It doesn't matter that you don't have, like, a ton of friends in high school. You're not the super popular person. Like, it's okay. You have bigger goals. You got bigger dreams. So just stay the course.
Solid advice. And any little girl listening, what advice would you give them as far as pursuing their dreams?
Just letting your light shine. You don't have to dim your light for anybody else. There's plenty of room for everybody's light to shine. You also do not have to dim someone else's light to make your light shine brighter. You know, just if you have a dream, a goal, whatever it is, you just got to work super hard to get it, especially being a female. Always remember that, have that in the back of your mind. But we can do anything. We just saw a Black woman become the vice president. So we can do it all.
Facts. Well, thank you so much, Lexi, for joining us. This has been an excellent episode. Can't wait for our listeners to hear it.
Yay. Thank you guys for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, this was awesome.
Love me a podcast, so whenever you need me, I'm here.
Oh, yeah. No, I got you for sure.